It is Resurrection Month. On the last Sunday of this month, we will be celebrating all around the world the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For you and I, we celebrate it regularly. And you know, when you celebrate something regularly, sometimes you can start to take for granted what has really been given to you. Amen. And so what we are trying to do during the course of this month is just remind us through old stories in a fresh way, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about it being God's well-executed plan. And it was really for the salvation or for the saving of the world. It was God's idea that Jesus would give his life. If you're not careful when you're reading and thinking about it, you might think that it was actually the idea of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and those people who were actually trying to get rid of Jesus. You might think that it was their idea for the crucifixion. But let me remind you that this was God's plan, and it was well executed by his son, Jesus Christ. And for that, you and I can be eternally grateful. That means that our salvation through the person of Jesus Christ was not an accident. That it didn't just happen and then he said, oh, that I think that'll work. No, no, no. It was well thought out. And then down through history, you see glimpses of this scarlet thread running through the Bible, talking about the blood that will redeem all of mankind. Amen? And so you and I need to make sure that on our tongues, we have the truth about the resurrection. We have the truth about Jesus Christ, and we are not ashamed to tell that truth. Amen? Amen. We need to be able to articulate it well. For if anybody asks you about the hope that you have, you need to be able to tell them it's because of Jesus. What about Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell you what it is about this Jesus that gives me hope that cannot be shaken. Amen. And so I want to encourage you as you work your way through the month. There are four gospels in the New Testament. Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each gospel tells of the account of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to reserve time to read through each one of those accounts of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Read them, review them, and see what has been preserved for you and for me so that we can build up our most holy faith. Amen? Amen. Amen. Today, I am wanting to go to the gospel written by John, the Apostle John. The gospel written by John tells of an event that happened in the life of a family that Jesus loved very dearly. Pastor Savage has already preached a portion of the message during praise and worship, so he was able to help us preserve just a little bit of time. Amen. But I want to go to John chapter 11 and look, I want us to read verses 17 through 26. But then we want to recap and talk about the entire story or the entire event that takes place. And so we're looking today at God's well-executed plan to give life. So the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was not just about salvation, saving us from our sins, but it was also about giving us life. And anyone who stops at salvation alone, it is as though you've only stepped at the door and you have not walked through to look at what all is available to you. You need to walk into the door and experience all that God has provided through the person of Jesus Christ. He saves you from your sins, but he gives you life. And you and I need to walk in that life. Amen? Amen. I want us to read together verses 17 through 26. So I need your help. Amen? Are you ready? All right. Let's read. Let's do this. Let's stand up. Let's stand up together. I can tell you're tired. That hour is getting you. Come on, let's stand up. Come on, Junior. Come on, Junior. Junior, if you don't get up, I'm going to have you come up here and read it by yourself, man. Come on, man. Don't don't be like that. Don't be like that. I'm just kidding. Y'all ready? You got to read it nice and loud. Let's read together. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Amen. Father, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you, God, for this event and this experience that was recorded for our benefit. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ for your illumination into your word. We pray, God, that our ears will be open to hear what the Spirit has to say. And I pray, God, that you will anoint my tongue with grace and truth, that I may proclaim your truth like the pen of a ready writer. Help me, O God, to speak, Lord, what you are saying to us, that, God, we might yet experience your life and experience it more abundantly. In the matchless and majestic name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is an event that occurs before, of course, the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is almost like it is a preview to the upcoming attraction. For the real attraction is going to be when Jesus is crucified, when he is buried, and then on the third day, he is raised to life. For in that event, Jesus conquers death, hell, and the grave. And every individual that will put their hope in Jesus, who will put their trust in Jesus, he says to you that I will give you new life because he is the life giver. Amen. This event that we are looking at today in the life of Lazarus and Mary and Martha was a preview of what was to come But it helps us to understand a very important truth. And I want you to see this up front. Think about it as we go, and then hopefully we will unpack it along the way. At the end of this story, you know what happens. We are familiar with the story. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. In our reading, we discovered that Lazarus has been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus goes and he makes a declaration. He says, "Lazarus, get up." And when Jesus made that declaration, Lazarus got up from the dead and came out of the tomb. Amen. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, you know that great commission that we often remember and think about? It says that Jesus was given all authority. In Philippians chapter 2, it says that Jesus has the name that is above every name. Because he surrendered himself, he became a servant, and he died. Remember, he died even upon a cross. It said that God exalted him above everything and gave him the name that is above everything. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue confess, that means they shall acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. When Jesus is raised from the dead, he is given all authority in heaven and on earth. Amen? So if Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead before he's given all authority in heaven and on earth, just imagine now what he can do with your situation. Oh, wait a minute, man. Y'all was supposed to get excited about that. Like I was, y'all act like y'all ain't got no situations to deal with. See, folk that's got situations that they can't handle get excited to know that they got a Savior, a God, a Jesus that is able to deal with all of your situations, no matter what they are. Because death became that thing that no one could conquer and overcome. And if Jesus was able to deal with death while he was yet in his human body, while he was yet restricted, how much more can he deal with our situations right now? Because he has all power, all authority has been given into his hands. So no one else but Jesus is able to take care of your problem. Amen. And so as you and I look at this event, as we look at this story, I want you thinking about that truth of what Jesus does in this story was before he was raised from the dead. And now that he has been raised from the dead and he has ascended and has taken his seat at the right hand of the Father, is there anything too hard for God? The answer is no. Just in case you ask, let me think. You don't need to waste your time thinking about what might be too hard for him. Let me tell you, there is absolutely nothing that is too hard for God. Why? Because Jesus has been given all power in all authority. That is why you and I must learn how to speak the name of Jesus over our situation. Amen. We must learn how to proclaim the power of Jesus over our situation. Amen. We must learn how to plead the blood of Jesus, which is nothing more than acknowledging that it is the covenant of the blood that establishes our relationship with Jesus Christ. We start talking about, I plead the blood. I'm reminding God that I'm in a covenant relationship with you by the blood of Jesus Christ. When I'm in that bad situation that I don't know how the ends are going to meet or how to turn it around, the answer is always, always, always Jesus. The answer is not Google. I know that we've come to believe that Google is the answer to everything. Can I tell you, it's Jesus. It's J-E-S. U-S, not G-O-O-G-L-E, it's Jesus. And if you and I can learn how to put that kind of trust in Jesus that we put in Google, I'm going to tell you, it will turn your life around. It will change. Because if you can proclaim the name of Jesus and his name, demons will flee. Amen. When kids are acting a fool, learn how to use the name of Jesus. Amen. When your boss ain't doing right, learn how to use the name of Jesus. Listen, I'm telling you, the name of Jesus, it breaks chains. And it changes situations. If you believe. Amen. If you believe. If you believe. Boy, it is my hope that you and I will start to act like we believe. Amen. Whew. We just casual. We casual. When you think about what went down for our salvation, for our redemption, for our life, there was nothing casual about it. In fact, as you're reading through the account of the crucifixion and the resurrection in each one of those gospels, what you're going to be reminded of is that there was nothing casual about what Jesus did for us. And so if there was nothing casual about what he did, we need to stop being so casual in our relationship with him. We need to stop being so casual in the exercising of our faith toward him. Because we act like maybe he can and maybe he can't. That's how we act. Excuse me, not you. I'm using we to talk about other folks, you know, not you. I know you don't act like that. I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, how, you know, some folks, you know, that, you know, act like maybe he can and maybe he can't. Let me tell you, it's always a, he is able. Yes, he can. It is always, he is able. Yes, he can. And the resurrection reminds us that he is able. Yes, he can. It doesn't matter how many days have elapsed. It reminds you that he is able. Yes, he can. You and I have got to take a posture of remembering that God loved us so much that he allowed his son to come. In fact, he sent him. He said, you go, take care of this. That's love. And if he loved us enough to do that, then whatever we are facing here right now, it is always he can and he is able to deal with the situation. Amen. We are a people of hope. We always have hope. You know what? That's why it's so hard for us sometimes to let people die, because we got hope. Amen. You think about it. You got a member of your family that may be experiencing sickness. Yeah. Oh, no, we got hope. The God that we serve is able to turn the situation around. Amen. And so we pray and act like he is able to turn it around with the realization that even if he don't, it doesn't change who he is. Amen. Even if he does not, because this is what he says, that the one who dies in me, he doesn't die. He just goes to sleep. Amen. And yet he will live again. So we have a trust in him that says that there is nothing that is too hard for our God. In John 11, the Apostle John is telling about this event again to help with our belief. Now, if you remember well, as we have read and studied through the book of John before, you'll remember in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John lets you know that he did not by any means capture all the miracles that were performed by Jesus. In fact, what John says in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he said that there were so many miracles that Jesus did that if they had told about them all or written about them all, that there would not be enough books or enough room in the world to hold all the volumes of books that would be written. But he said these were written, these signs, these miraculous signs were given so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in him, have eternal life. And so at the end, almost at the end of this gospel, John gives you his primary reason for writing about what he has written about. He gives you his primary reason for capturing the various events that he has captured is so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in him, have eternal life. So if you remember, John writes about some incredible events that happens in the life of Jesus. The first thing he talks about is that when Jesus goes to a wedding, you remember that? Jesus goes to a wedding and the people drank up all the wine before the wedding celebration is over. Jesus' mother comes to him. Mary says, hey, they have run out of wine. And Jesus, like, you want me to go to Walmart or something? Why are you telling me? Now is not my time. And then she simply walks away and says, do whatever he say do, right? And so there are some stone jars that they captured water in that Jesus tells the folks, hey, go fill these up with water. They were huge jars. Go fill these up with water. And Jesus then turns that water into wine. The first miracle, first miraculous sign that John writes about was Jesus turning water into wine. Boy, he could have stopped right there, couldn't he? Man, water into wine? You make a believer out of me. Amen. Amen. But he says he did that because he had just called his disciples with him to follow him, and they were needing to see, this is who you're following. I am the anointed one, the Messiah. And so John begins to outline these various miracles and signs as he is going through the gospel of John. And he's telling about things that Jesus did. And remember, the reason John is lifting out these particular miracles is so that when folks heard them, when they read them, they would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Believe in him and then have eternal life. And so we have among those stories, the one that is recorded in John chapter 11. It's about a family, a brother and two sisters, Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. What we know about them is that Jesus loved this family and this family loved Jesus. It's evident that it was a place that he would often go and spend time with them whenever he was in that particular area or town. because of their love for one another. Unfortunately, one day, Lazarus gets sick. And the sickness that has beset Lazarus is of such a sort that it is ebbing away his life. And so the sister sent a message to Jesus. And they said to Jesus, the one that you love is sick and about to die. He's sick. Jesus heard the message, but then the text says that Jesus decided to stay where he was for two more days. Isn't that a strange response? You getting news about someone that you love being gravely ill and you not jumping up and running to go see what's going on. Jesus is a whole lot different from us, right? Amen. We'll be buying plane tickets with money we ain't got. Amen. I got to get there. Like you being there really going to make, I mean, like, let's be honest, like you being there. I got to get there, man. I got to get there. But Jesus, he waited. He waited two more days. And then he says to his disciples, Lazarus is sick. I think I'm ready to go back now. Then he really says to him, well, Lazarus is asleep. I want to go back and wake him up and see him. The disciples say, look, now, Jesus, we're not doctors. But if he sleep while he's sick, doesn't that mean he's getting better? Don't go mess with him. Don't disturb him, Jesus. Just let him get some rest. And then, you know, after he gets up, we can go and visit him then, right? And Jesus said, okay, look, fellas, Lazarus is dead. Okay? And then let's go there because this is an important part of what Jesus says. In verse 11, let me just read that section for us because I want to catch what Jesus says at the end. All right? He says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him. His disciples replied, Lord, if he is asleep, he will get better. And Jesus had been speaking of death, but his disciples thought, you know, he meant natural sleep. And so he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now look at verse 15. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. So that you may believe. So right there, we see that Jesus, his reason for delaying not going to see Lazarus was not that he didn't love Lazarus, was not that he didn't want to take care of the problem, but there is something bigger that's taking place right here. Remember, John says that these signs have been written so that you might know Jesus is the Christ and believe in him. And by believing, you might have eternal life. This is all about believing who Jesus is and what Jesus is able to do. And so Jesus says to his disciples, these are the men who have been with him, who have been spending time with him, who have been a part of his ministry, those who have received authority from him to go and to touch and heal the sick and to cast out demons. These folks are the ones that he said, I'm glad that we wasn't there when Lazarus died so that you can believe. He's reminding you and me that sometimes getting to the place of believing is a challenge. Now you've got to stay in it and you've got to keep allowing yourself to acknowledge who God is and what God can do. And you have to learn how to block out doubt. And you have to learn how to reject doubt, because doubt has a way of slipping in and making you think that God can't do what God can do. You've got to keep reminding yourself that he is the sovereign God who sits on the throne, who is able to do more than we can ask, think, or imagine, that there is no force in heaven or on earth that can stop him, because he is unstoppable. You've got to keep reminding yourself of that, because the enemy of your soul wants to make you think that there are some things that your God can't do or won't do. You've got to keep reminding yourself that, no, I'm a believer. I believe that God is able. Amen. And so he says, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe. And so then they together leave, going to this place where in Bethany, where Lazarus was. On the way, word reaches Martha that Jesus is on the way. And she gets up from where she was, and she runs out to meet Jesus on the way. But it says her sister Mary stays at the house. Isn't that interesting? You remember the story about those two, right? Mary and Martha, which one was sitting at the feet of Jesus and didn't want to get up and help with the serving the meal? Which one was that? It was Mary, wasn't it? Martha was busy serving everybody, and Mary was like, nope, I got to sit at the feet of Jesus, because I might not get this opportunity anymore. But now, when Jesus is on the way, which one jumps up and runs out? Oh, it's Martha that's running out and saying, wait a minute. I'm going to meet Jesus. I'm not going to wait for him to get to the house. I'm going to meet him. We sent for you. I've been waiting for you. Heard you on the way. I'm coming to meet you. And then when she gets to Jesus, look at what she says. In verse 17, I think this is where we started to read. And she actually begins to speak in verse number 21. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. It's a true statement, amen? Then look at what she says. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm liking Mary. Martha. I'm liking her right now, right? Yeah, you know, we were all over her when she was talking about, make this girl help me. We were all over her talking about, you know what, you should have been sitting at the feet of Jesus too. She was trying to serve, but I'm liking what I hear right now. She says, let me give you this truth. She's pouring out her heart, right? Because it is a true statement. If Jesus had been there, yeah, Lazarus would not have experienced death at that moment. Because we have read account after account, miracle after miracle, about what Jesus was able to do in the face of any sickness that any individual was facing. And we know that if he had been there, moved with compassion, ain't no way he would have been able to sit by and watch the dude die. No way. If he had been there, he would like. I can't take it no more. So he stayed back. And Martha says, I just know if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Funny, when Mary shows up, she says the same thing to Jesus. So this has been a discussion that had been taking place. If only Jesus had come. If only Jesus had come. If only Jesus had come. And then I love the statement that she makes, though. She says, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Even though you didn't come when I wanted you to come, I still believe that you are able. Even though my heart is sad and I'm grieving, I'm not going to say that you are not who you are. I am not going to begin to walk away from you, but I'm going to declare that even now I know that you still have the authority to ask of God anything and it will be given to you. And so she expresses a faith in who Jesus is that keeps her stable and anchored in the midst of this crisis. Do I need to restate that? She exercises a faith in who Jesus is that keeps her anchored, amen, in the midst of a crisis. This is why I love Martha right now, is because in the midst of the crisis, what does she do? She runs to Jesus. And if you and I are to learn anything, just one thing, if you can learn one thing, it don't matter. Just this one thing will be enough for me. In the midst of your crisis, run to Jesus. Amen? In the midst of it, when stuff is falling apart, when you don't know the answers, when you don't know how you're going to deal with whatever it is that has come up on you to create the crisis, run to Jesus. Wait a minute. How do I run to Jesus? See, Martha had, she had a physical person that she could actually run to and say these things to. But I don't. Oh, but wait a minute. I'm in better shape than what Martha was. Because within me, I have the Holy Spirit who lives. And now, because Jesus is no longer constrained in a physical body, he can now get back to where he was in the beginning. That says that he is an omnipresent God who is not limited by geographical time, space, or points. So that wherever I am, at any time, I can drop down on my knees. I can humble myself before him and run to Jesus without even moving. In the middle of the crisis, I can be running to Jesus. While I'm getting slapped upside the head with my troubles, I can run to Jesus. Amen. Because he says, all you need to do is call up on me and I will hear you and I will answer you. Running to Jesus looks like you pausing long enough to acknowledge that he is there and that he is in control. It looks like you pausing long enough to call on him and say, Lord Jesus, I need you now. Amen. I need you right now. And it's like you waiting and waiting and calling until your help shows up. And when you and I are in the middle of a crisis of something that we can't handle, we've got a God who can. And his name is Jesus. Amen. His name is Jesus. Oh, my. Whew, I'm running out of time, y'all. I'm sorry. Don't laugh at me. Behave yourself. Behave yourself. Jesus responded to Martha. He said, your brother will rise again. And she says, yeah, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus looked at her and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then look at the question at the end, do you believe this? This is a critical point, because if you and I are going to receive anything from the kingdom of God, it must be done by faith. Amen. You have to believe that God is able to do exactly what he said he would do. You've got to believe it. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and 6. Amen. Which also means that if you're not believing, don't dare expect to receive. Amen. In order to receive what God wants to give, you must believe that he is able to do what he said he can do. Jesus makes this declaration, I am the resurrection and the life. And then at the end of that, he says, do you believe this? Martha says, yeah, I'm going to see my brother again when I die in the resurrection. Yeah, I know we're going to meet again. Jesus said, no, 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 wait, sweetheart. He says, wait a minute, baby. He says, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. The one right here with you right now is he. And then he says, do you believe this? It's almost like this, as you and I are reading our words, our word each day. Amen. We do have the practice of reading God's word each day, right? Amen. If you didn't say amen and you don't have that practice, if you said amen and you're not doing it, that means you're lying. Repent. Amen. But if you haven't started, now is the time to start. You need to be eating from the word of God daily. Daily. Now, if you're struggling with a plan, I just gave you one for the next week or so. Amen. Remember, you're supposed to be reading about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in each one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you have a hard time finding that, shoot me a text. I'll help you out. Amen. But you need to be reading that. But here's what happens. When you and I are reading God's word daily, when we are engaging in his word daily, we've got to pause long enough to say, do I believe what I just read about Jesus? So it's more than just a reading exercise. You and I are not reading just to say I read. We're not reading just to say, yep, I didn't cover so many books, so many chapters. You wouldn't believe how many. No, 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 no. You and I are reading because we are feeding ourselves with the word of God that is able to change and impact our lives and our situations. And it is equipping us with truth that enables us to speak in our time of crisis, that allows us to operate in the authority that has been given to us. We need to know how God thinks. We need to know how God acts so we can have a right response to stuff that's going on. And the only way you discover that is in the word of God. That means that you've got to go there and read it for yourself. Amen. And I praise God that today we have so many tools that nobody can come up with an excuse for not having read or listened to the word of God. If you got a problem reading, you just need to go to the Bible app and push play. Amen. And there is someone who will read it to you. And you need to listen to it over and over until you can repeat it and know it for yourself. But then you get to those places of what God is doing, what Christ is doing, and you've got to ask the question, do I believe this? Do I believe this? Because the only way I'm going to be able to receive the benefit of what I just learned about is I have to believe it and exercise faith in what has been declared. Amen? And so we want to move from just knowledge and information to having a belief and a practice that says that this is what I'm standing on. Jesus said to Martha, "Do you believe this?" And she said, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Now I got to skip down to verse number 38. Because in verse number 38, we won't deal with Mary and her exchange, but I want to skip down to verse number 38. Because Jesus is now at the tomb. He's going to the tomb. He was deeply moved. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And Jesus said to them, "Take away the stone." Listen to what she says. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." 4 days. She's just speaking truth again, isn't she? These are the facts. He's been dead. He's been in the tomb 4 days. You know what happens when something is dead? 4 days. She's saying, we don't want to open up that tomb. There's going to be a problem if we do. Right? But now, look at Jesus' response in verse number 40. "Then Jesus said, 'Did I not tell you that if you what? Believe, you would see the glory of God.'" So now it comes back and it connects for us this idea of faith in believing to seeing the glory of God, which is the manifest power of God demonstrated. In this case, is going to be demonstrated in our brother Lazarus' life. In our case, is going to be demonstrated in whatever it is that we are experiencing. But what? We've got to first believe. There is no way around belief. Which means that you and I have got to learn how to eradicate, remove, get rid of all kind of doubt. And we've got to be like that man who came to Jesus and he was asking Jesus to help him with his son who had been demon possessed. And Jesus said, "Do you believe?" The man said, "I believe, but will you please help my unbelief?" He said, "I'm trying to believe the best I can, but it seems like I got a struggle somewhere and I need your help to help me with my unbelief so I can get to the place of where you can do what I know you can do in my son's life, because I'm getting tired of my son suffering the way he's suffering and he needs help. That's why I came to you, Jesus. So help me with my unbelief." You and I have got to get to a place of where we're saying, "Jesus, I'm trying to believe. God, I'm trying to believe all that you said, but there seems like there's something that keeps getting in the way, because every time I declare your word, I got a but thought in my mind. And I need you to help me get rid of the but thoughts that keep popping up that are negating what you are able to do. So I need you to help me to do it." And Jesus said to Martha, "If you believe, you will see the glory of God." And then at that point, Jesus said, "Roll the stone away. We don't need to keep talking about this. I need to go ahead and do what I came to do." And so they rolled the stone away. Some thinking, "Why are we doing this? She just told him there was going to be a stench," but there was no more protest from her. She was simply waiting to see what would happen. When the stone was rolled away, you remember what happened. Jesus called in a loud voice and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And when Jesus said unto Lazarus, "Come forth," it says that the man who had been dead in the tomb got up and came out, still with his grave clothes on. He followed the voice of the one who called him, and he began now to experience new life after his death. So not only do we run to Jesus, but we learn how to follow the voice of Jesus. And when we're following the voice of Jesus, it always takes us to new life. I go back again to the point that I made at the beginning. If Jesus was able to take a man who had been dead in the tomb for 4 days and call him out of his dead situation while he was yet, Jesus was yet in this human body, restricted in what he could do, how much more can he do in our dead situations now that he's seated at the right hand of the Father with all power in his hand? Unlimited access, unlimited power. There is no situation that you and I could ever face that our God cannot take care of because of Jesus. Yes! The resurrection was God's well-executed plan so that you and I could experience life and experience it more abundantly. But the only way we do that is by believing in who Jesus is. He is the Lamb of God that was given to the world to take care of their sins. He is the perfect Lamb who was without sin. Amen. Jesus is the only one who can deal with every issue in your life. And he can take broken things and make them whole again. Jesus, unstoppable. He's the bread of life, unstoppable. Amen. Living water, unstoppable. He is light in dark places, unstoppable. Jesus, full of wisdom, unstoppable. Jesus, a wonderful counselor, unstoppable. You ain't got no reason losing your mind because you have a wonderful counselor in Jesus. Amen. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. You don't have any reason having sleepless nights. Why? Because you have the Prince of Peace who is willing to rock you to sleep at night. He's Jesus, but you've got to believe that he is able to do and he is everything that he said he is. The bright morning star, Jesus. Amen. The lily in the valley, Jesus. Amen. There is nothing too low, no place too low where your Jesus can't go. Amen. But you and I have to exercise our belief that he is able to meet us in that crisis moment. And he is able to deliver. Because the resurrection, the death, burial, the crucifixion, the death, burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was God's well-executed plan. It was God's perfect plan for you and me to experience life. Let me say this, don't try it without him. Don't try it without him. Amen.